Fresh-cut flowers in the middle of winter are especially appreciated by Alaskans. The dozens and dozens of roses at so many of the Statehood Day festivities were grown right here in Fairbanks, Alaska. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. For a number of years, roses have been produced in the greenhouses on the University of Alaska Fairbanks campus using heat provided by a boiler in a manner simulating waste heat. That heat released by power plants, pumping stations, and geothermal sources. Research begun by Dr. Don Dinkle, who retired from the university, is being continued by research assistants. In the last 2 years, substantial improvements were made to the greenhouse on the west ridge of the UAF campus. High-intensity lights were installed, the rose beds were rearranged, and attention is focused on trying new varieties that will yield a quality rose. Currently, all roses sold in Alaska are imported. At the same time, the roses grown at the UAF Agricultural Experiment Station are considered superior in appearance, fragrance, and lasting time to those imported from West Coast suppliers. Not only does it appear feasible to grow roses, preliminary research indicates that marketing Alaskan-grown roses does have potential. The most serious obstacle seems to be the ability of the grower to ensure a consistent and constant crop year-round. Significantly, data collected over the past 2 years demonstrate that year-round production is now possible. Further research is needed, however, to engineer the optimum greenhouse for the Arctic environment. I Didn't Know That is produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. In November, what appeared to be a dirty water mix was placed on several Fairbanks streets and roads to field test the use of calcium magnesium acetate as a substitute for salt on icy roads. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. Common salt de-ices roads relatively inexpensively. However, the corrosion damage associated with the use of chloride salts is enormous. Cooperative research between the Department of Petroleum Engineering at the University of Alaska Fairbanks and the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities resulted in a study to test calcium magnesium acetate as a possible substitute for salt as a de-icer for Alaskan roads. CMA is made by reacting crushed limestone into acetic acid. It pushes the freezing point down from 32 degrees Fahrenheit to 10 degrees Fahrenheit and combined with sand is an effective de-icer. It is non-corrosive to most metals and decomposes into harmless components, often leaving a white residue. The biggest drawback to the use of CMA in Alaska is its cost. Research continues to look at in-state production to make its use cost-effective. A pilot plant produced 500 gallons last year to prepare the way for production of 5,000 gallons that have been used successfully with sand this winter on major roads in Fairbanks. The University of Alaska Fairbanks is also using CMA and sand at selected locations on campus. In this newest phase of the project, a UAF School of Engineering graduate student is involved in the project to assess the environmental impact of CMA for her thesis. DOT will submit this information to the Environmental Protection Agency to support its request to spread 200 tons of CMA in the Girdwood area near Anchorage in the winter of 85-86. The question of switching from sodium chloride to CMA as a de-icer hinges on further research on cost, in-state production, environmental impact, and the full-scale winter field test. I Didn't Know That is produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. Late last summer, a cross between a domestic dog and coyote was discovered in Fairbanks. That discovery has resulted in a significant research study. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. Shortly after the capture of Brownie, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game and the North Star Borough agreed to permit the release of the live captured animal into her old neighborhood. Since that time, the life of Brownie has become a regular feature story. With a radio transmitter around her neck, Brownie's movements have been closely followed. Her mating activity made headlines in Fairbanks, and in January, Brownie gave birth to 9 pups. 2 weeks after birth, the three-quarter dog pups ranged in weight from 1 7/8 to 2 1/4 pounds. The longest was 10 3/8 inches, the smallest 9 3/4 inches. It appears three fathers are responsible for the 7 males and 2 females. Significantly, Brownie, acting very much like a coyote or wolf, had her pups at the home of one of the fathers. Male coyotes and wolves assist in the care of their pups. However, the domestic father never realized he had any responsibility. Brownie cared for all 9 pups. All were born in excellent health. As several of the pups were located in homes, Brownie relocated herself and 2 of the pups. These 2 were located in early March and have also been placed with families. All 9 of these pups placed in selected homes will continue to be observed by scientists. Brownie, still collared, continues to live in her neighborhood. Which and how many, if any, coyote traits will manifest themselves will be of major interest. How Brownie and her offspring fare will also be of particular interest to researchers, and so the life of Brownie continues. I Didn't Know That is produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. The presence of acid rain continues to attract national attention, but scientists at the University of Alaska Fairbanks believe the issue in Alaska is overstated. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. Acid rain and snows are wreaking havoc in certain places of the world, and a recent study released by the U.S. Division of Geological Surveys suggests the North Slope of Alaska will fare no better. Researchers at the University of Alaska Fairbanks disagree and believe the information in the report is overstated. Acid rain is precipitation containing common laboratory mineral acids, sulfuric, nitric, and hydrochloric. In addition, there are numerous toxic heavy minerals that come down to the ground. The major source of acid precipitation is smelters treating sulfide ores and power plants burning fossil fuels. A number of UAF scientists speculate that pollution from Siberian industry or European factories is drifting to Alaska's far northern regions. The phenomenon has been known for more than 100 years. In the 1970s, the collective damage of acid rain reached epidemic and disastrous proportions. According to UAF scientists, the acid precipitation rate in the Alaskan Arctic, however, is 1/5 of that needed to cause ecological damage. UAF scientists agree that the data available to date are not a cause for alarm, but rather a reason for further study. I Didn't Know That is produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM. A crop of wheat may be possible in Alaska, according to latest research by University of Alaska Fairbanks scientists. Did you know that? Hello, I'm Karen Sedzo, and I didn't know that. Scandinavia, the Soviet Union, and Canada all have successfully grown winter wheat, but results in Alaska have been disappointing. Now farmers have something to get excited about. Plant pathologists at the University of Alaska Fairbanks Agricultural Experiment Station have identified snow mold as the cause of crop failure here in the interior. Snow mold is a fungus that causes disease to wheat plants and grass. It produces a cobweb appearance on lawns and fields. Experiments have focused on the use of chemicals to prevent snow mold. The chemicals are applied after planting in the fall. To date, results have indicated promise of higher yields and the potential for a new crop that would complement barley. In this way, farmers would have an opportunity to fully maximize their fields. Eventually, it is hoped that a variety of wheat will be developed that would be resistant to snow mold. That's in the long run, however. In the short run, farmers, with the use of chemicals, can begin to plan for our short growing season, knowing that early harvest of barley still leaves time to harvest the wheat planted the previous August. Although the search for resistant varieties has been unsuccessful, scientists are determined to find pathogen-resistant varieties to avoid long-term use of chemicals. They believe the resistant varieties will be more economical and simpler. continued research is the only answer to find or develop a wheat strain that naturally resists Alaska snow molds. I Didn't Know That is produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office in cooperation with KUAC-FM.